Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church, on the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Dan Burke talks with Don Carney about an exciting new documentary, Where Heaven Meets Earth, about how a priest restored the sacred and revitalized a once declining parish. Also, Jeanette DeMello will explore ways to integrate faith in the workplace with Catholic businessman and author Randy Hain. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register.
It's great to be here, Tom.
Always a pleasure, my friend, and Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello, Tom.
We're going to start with you this time, Dan. It's very timely to be focusing on this very uplifting documentary, since it's going to be aired on EWTN this month, April 30th, I believe.
Yeah, April 30th at 6:30 p.m., Where Heaven Meets Earth, and it's something that our listeners don't want to miss. It is one of the more inspiring documentaries I've ever watched. Of course, Storytel Foundation does this on a regular basis and has produced a number of beautiful documentaries that really help us to see the work of the Lord in revitalizing local parishes, or the work of the Lord through religious orders like Milius Christi, and how it is that the springtime of the faith is coming to fruition in many corners of the church. We're grateful to have Don Carney on with us today, who is the head of that of Storytel. Don, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you, Dan. Very happy to be here.
Well, Don, I wanted to talk with you in particular about Where Heaven Meets Earth, Restoring the Sacred at St. Peter. How is it that you came about this story of St. Peter Catholic Church?
Long story, but need to nutshell that, I suppose. For your
yes, you do.
Just my wife and I moved to Omaha. I had started this foundation. We'd already done a program about St. John Cantius in Chicago, and we started attending this parish and began noticing that the Mass was very reverent, that there were different things going on here than that were going on at other parishes, and that was the beginning of it. And next was discovering their Corpus Christi procession that they do on an annual basis, where 1,000 people from around Omaha get involved and walk with our Lord through the streets of Omaha from Our Lady of Lourdes Parish to St. Peter's. And just one thing kind of led to another, and we got involved and just began shooting. I felt drawn into it, I think, by God, would be, because on the one hand, my cheering section of my brain was saying, you shouldn't be doing this. You have no funding for this. You don't know, you know. And the next was, well, you better get some pictures of those guys working on the roof. And before you know it, one thing led to another, and we did get the funding, and we did get it done. And we're very happy that we have, because it's a good story. It's a great story, and it tells how a parish that was dying can come back to life. It won't happen in every case, but in this case, it did, because certain things transpired.
Yeah, I actually heard about this from another parishioner that I interact with on a regular basis, and then was delighted to discover that your documentary was airing on EWTN. So I thought it was a perfect fit for Register Radio. The basic story is the church began in 1886, right?
Uh-huh.
And then there were a series of events that led to its decline. Why don't you describe that briefly?
I think the decline began in the 1960s with Interstate 480, a 5-mile stretch of highway that just took out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homes and cut the parish community in half so that you couldn't walk around the neighborhood. And so we say hundreds, but I think it could be more in the thousands of parishioners, were forced to move away from St. Peter's. And then as we moved into the 70s and 80s, and the suburbs continued to grow, more people moved away, and the parish just had a steady decline. A parish that once was slated to be the cathedral of Omaha had, over time, just sort of, the school closed in 1980, I think, around there, and it was a steady decline until there was almost nobody left but the elderly, who of course were dying, and then a young priest was assigned to the parish
Father Damien Cook came on the scene. Yeah.
And really all he did was provide a reverent mass, and then at some point got the idea to start restoring the building, even though it was a monumental task.
Yeah, this is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're talking with Don Carney about his documentary, Where Heaven Meets Earth, which will be airing on EWTN on Tuesday, April the 30th at 6:30 p.m. We're now at this point where Father Cook arrives on the scene, and he begins to restore the sacred. In your documentary, he talks about the desire to restore the mystery, the awe, and the wonder of God. What's fascinating to me is, as a former Protestant, I watched many denominations decline dramatically during my short time as a Protestant. It was in the neighborhood of about 15 years. But they all declined for the same reasons, and they're the opposite reason of why this church was revitalized. And they declined because they really lost the original fervency of their founder, of their particular denomination. They began to become more and more like the culture around them. They developed this customer-oriented model where the church was oriented around the parishioner, or the person who would come through the doors, rather than oriented to God and focused on the Lord and worship of the Lord. But then in response to the decline, they would continue the decline by continually making worship banal or accessible. I mean, all of these things that human instinct would say, well, these might work, they actually don't work, do they?
No, I would say back around the time, and I can't even put a date on it, but I probably started in the 60s, 70s, probably became rampant in the 70s, was a time when so many other cultures were rediscovering their roots, and maybe it was the first time many of us began to learn what real Hispanic culture was about. And other cultures, too, at that same time, for some reason, unbeknownst to me and anybody else I know, is the Catholic Church started severing its roots.
Right.
Throwing out everything that had come before and saying, no, we have to do, and nobody really knows. It wasn't like anybody was in charge of it. It was more like a mindset, and suddenly we lost all our mystery. And so now, with what's happening with Father Cook and other parishes and other, we have young priests coming up who want the challenge. They're rediscovering what I feel like is like a buried treasure of music, for instance, that goes back all these years. Just because we have new music, why should we throw out the old music?
Exactly. Well,
that's one thing. Incense at the altar is another thing. There's so many things you can do. I had a priest once tell me that, everything you see in a church should point your mind and heart back to God. And churches stopped doing that. Church buildings stopped doing that. And right after he told me that, I had a baby on my lap, one of my kids, looking up in a church that we were at, and I noticed that baby was looking up at an angel on the ceiling. Now, if that angel wasn't there, well, then they'd just see a blank ceiling. So,
yeah, I think after Vatican II, what happened was we had this call to meet the needs of the cultures wherein we find ourselves, and which is a good call, but that doesn't mean that we have to remove the sacred. It doesn't mean that we have to remove the things that connect us with the past.
And I don't think anybody's calling for let's go back to the way it was before 1950. It's not like that at all. It's more like let's keep the best of our culture and tradition, the whole tradition, and let's, because that's timeless, and let's keep injecting what's good, that's new, that proves itself to be timeless. Because we do need to redo the message for each culture, but if it's true to its source, then it will retain a timeless quality. So we feel like, for instance, our program about St. Peter's, 50 years from now, this should still be a good program to watch.
Don, it's Tom Price here. It occurs to me, on the secular level, if you were designing a car from the ground up, you would not say, well, we can do something better than in installing turn signals. No, turn signals work fine.
Yeah.
So why would you want to throw out that which is holy in the case of a church?
The only reason I can think of is because you're angry at your church about something.
Or you might have a miss.
Peters, the windows, for instance, are so incredible. And so long before video, long before television, they were creating windows, stained glass windows that told a story in one image. That was using modern imagery to its best. And there's like the Sistine Chapel, of course, is a perfect example of that, I suppose.
Don, one thing that Father Cook said that I thought was critically important, and we'll close with this, and I want you to tell folks about, a little bit about Storytel, but he said the goal was not to gain more parishioners, but to be faithful. He also said he wanted people to fall in love with Christ and to develop a passion for Christ. Mm-hmm. So that was at the essence. This isn't about methodology. This isn't about gimmicks. You know, restoring the sacred really is drawing people's hearts to Christ, isn't it?
I think it's about truth, beauty, and goodness, to make it at its most simple. And what's beautiful is timeless. And so don't throw out the old. Don't poo-poo anything that's new until you've given it a shot. So, yes, I think truth, beauty, and goodness would be the best way to say that, that Father wants to bring about the best that's beautiful from this building, from the liturgy, from the way we say Mass, from the way we worship God. At our church, we kneel for communion. Well, you have a little more time to prepare inwardly for our Lord if you're not standing in line walking up. But when we go to another church where they stand, then we stand. But whatever, I'm not management, so...
Well, Don,
go that direction.
Tell us how we can find out more about Storytel Foundation and maybe how folks might be able to help you continue to do the important work you do.
Our funding is provided by a handful of people who believe that rather than giving money directly to a church, perhaps telling these stories that are true stories and spreading the word to inspire people to restore the sacred, we feel like it's a win all the way around. We win by providing free programming for EWTN. We win by providing video efforts for the particular organization we're doing for that helps them raise money and other support. And we win by doing what we feel God is calling us to do, which is to tell these stories which aren't getting out there enough on the media.
Don, what's your web address for your website?
www.storytel.org, S-T-O-R-Y-T-E-L, one L, Storytel, one word, storytel.org.
storytel.org.
That's it.
Thank you very much for being with us today on Register Radio, Don.
Thank you.
Don, my thanks as well. When we return, we're going to talk about how to bring your faith into the workplace. And trust me, it can be done. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other, and our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Jeanette, we're delighted to welcome Randy Hain to Register Radio. He is the managing partner of Bell Oaks Executive Search in Atlanta. He is senior editor and a blogger for the website Integrated Catholic Life. In less than 3 years, Randy has authored three books, The Catholic Briefcase, Tools for Integrating Faith and Work, Along the Way, Lessons for an Authentic Journey of Faith, and just released February 2013, Something More, The Professional's Pursuit of a Meaningful Life. Randy writes and speaks on a number of topics, including faith, family, fatherhood, integration, and leadership. Randy Hain, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Randy. It's good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Randy, you recently contributed an interview to the National Catholic Register. You spoke with Dina Dwyer Owens, who was on the show Undercover Boss. Tell us about the show and why you interviewed Dina.
Well, the show has been very popular. It's one of the new offerings from CBS, and it takes senior executives undercover, usually into entry-level jobs, to really undercover, sort of discover what's going on in their companies. And Dina, who is a very devout Catholic and the president of the Dwyer Group, went on the episode January 22nd. And during that episode, she revealed on air how passionate she is about her faith and her devotion to daily Mass, and talked a lot about her prayer life. So a mutual friend of ours connected us, and I was really delighted to get her story and tell it in the Register, and that's why I interviewed her.
Oh, that's great. And can you tell us about a scene of the show, or perhaps another story that reveals the character of Dina?
Absolutely. In fact, it's a personal story that involves my family. When I was interviewing Dina, I told her about my life. She was very interested about my children and my wife. And I told her about my oldest son, Alex, who's 15, and he has high-functioning autism. And we went through the interview and finished it up. And I also had shared with her during the interview how interested Alex was in the Undercover Boss show. He really likes the show. Well, a week later, we received at our home a signed picture from Dina made out to Alex. It's one of the scenes from the show, along with a DVD of the episode and a signed copy of the book. And it really just made his day. And that unsolicited, compassionate offering from her just really tells a lot about her character.
Yes, and you know, I've been studying a little bit about some of what you've written in your three books, and in your latest book, I believe you've talked about a lot of people who, like Dina, live out their faith in their daily life and their professional life. Can you tell us a little bit about this ministry that you have, finding these people and revealing what they do?
Absolutely. Since I came into the church officially in 2006 with my wife, I'm a convert, I've really been very passionate about this idea of integrating faith, family, and work with Christ at the center. And that really stems from the fact that I grew up as a Southern Baptist as a young man, but left that church at 16, and then spent 23 years in the spiritual wilderness with no faith. But when I finally came in late 2005 to that place where I was looking for the truth, I felt empty inside, and I surrendered to Christ and really saw in the Catholic Church the fullness of the faith and the truth that I was missing. I really almost immediately began to tear down the walls in my own life and get rid of the compartments and start to think about how to be consistent and authentic about who I was all the time. So that was really the beginning of my, I guess, my ministry focus. And since that time, I've been, you know, seeking out other Catholics and writing and talking about that when I give talks about how we can really be authentically Catholic in all areas of our lives. And the people that I encounter are just hungry for this message, and it seems to be resonating everywhere.
Is there a particular story, another executive or someone else that you have highlighted in your work that you can bring to us today?
You know, the one that sticks out in my mind, it's a chapter in my first book, The Catholic Briefcase, and the chapter is called Signs of Our Faith, and it's a true story that occurred a couple of years ago. And it was a client of mine. She was the chief people officer of a very well-known national company. And we had a very, you know, sort of professional, rather dry relationship. And after we made our first placement with her firm, I invited her out to celebrate the placement. So we were at a local restaurant having lunch, having kind of the same dry conversation. And when the food arrived at our table, I said, I'm going to say a blessing if you'd like to join me. So I made the sign of the cross. And before I closed my eyes, I noticed that she was making the sign of the cross as well. And I said a quick prayer of thanks and asked God for courage. And after a few more minutes of chit-chat, I said, so tell me what parish you attend. And she looked at me rather strangely, and then 30 minutes later, she finally finished talking about her faith and how devoted she was to Mary and how involved she was at her parish. And it just, I was shocked to learn how passionate she really was about her Catholic faith. And as we finished up the meal and we were walking out, she said, Randy, I just want to thank you for bringing this up. I've never spoken about faith at work. I'm shocked at how much I enjoyed it. Can we do it again soon? And I guess that's a great example of what something as simple as making the sign of the cross can really do for any of us to create that faith dialogue with people who, you know, maybe you've never spoken to them about the faith before, but in this case, it just unlocks so much. And I've had that happen to me so many times. And I just encourage your listeners to think about something as simple as that, doing the same for them.
You know, Randy, that's a great story. It reminds me of the blog you wrote not too long ago. I think it was the week of Easter. And it was titled Disney World and E&C Catholics. I think you were referring to Easter and Christmas Catholics. And in that blog, you kind of encourage those of us who attend Mass regularly to look at those E&C Catholics a little differently than we might be tempted to do. Tell us about that blog.
It really sort of came at the end of 7:30 Mass that particular day, and I looked around just like all of us did and saw a sea of strange faces. And I know that day our parish was packed at every Mass. And I sort of reflected that week as I wrote the blog on, you know, what draws these Catholics every Christmas and Easter to the parishes. And I've heard some disparaging comments about them. You know, we call them C&E Catholics. We talk about the biannual Catholic reunion. But in the blog, I, you know, sort of gently chastise all of us about, you know, maybe we should be ashamed of ourselves, because we have thousands of people in our parishes twice a year, and what are we doing to evangelize them? What are we doing to win them back? They're coming back for a reason. They feel a connection. They feel a tie to the faith that's not quite broken. What can we do to reach out to them and encourage them? So in the blog, I offer five ways that we can do it, and also to recognize that these are folks who go to work with us. They live in our neighborhoods. Their kids play sports with our kids. And sometimes just engaging in a dialogue where maybe we're willing to be vulnerable and transparent first and maybe talk about our lives, that might give them an opportunity to respond in kind, and a faith dialogue could follow from that.
This is Jeanette DeMello with Register Radio, and I'm speaking with Randy Hain about faith and professional life. Randy, your latest book, Something More, The Professional's Pursuit of a Meaningful Life. Let's talk about that for a moment. I have the privilege of working with the Register, which is a meaningful job, but there are definitely times where I have trouble finding meaning in my life and in my work. Tell us what you've written about in this book.
Well, the book is to some degree a culmination of my, you know, 24 plus years in professional life, plus the 20 interviews I did with men and women of various backgrounds all around the country. And one I've seen that's a very consistent theme with the men and women who I've just, you know, had discussions with over the years, is they all seem in some fashion to be looking for more than just their work. They want more out of life than just their career. Now, again, everybody says it a little differently, but that's a very consistent theme. So what I wanted to do in this book was to sort of map out four professionals who were interested in the meaningful life, sort of a way to do it and give them the tools to do it. So I took my experiences and then I went out and found, you know, and really the Holy Spirit was behind this because I met some wonderful people who I never thought I would. And I got their stories about what they're doing to pursue a meaningful life. So what came out was a very authentic and sort of raw book that's very honest, and it just tells what people are honestly doing to achieve that. And I want to be clear, I can't tell you or anyone what the meaningful life is for you, but the goal of the book is to get you started, to give you tools, and to get you going in the right direction, and I think the book accomplishes that.
And how can someone get the book?
Well, all of my books are available on Amazon.com. You can also buy them through my publisher, Liguori Publications, and their website is liguori.org. And most Catholic bookstores carry my books.
You know, I saw on Integrated Catholic Life you recently wrote about marriage. We have had a lot of discussion about marriage equality and all of that. And I just wanted in these last few minutes of the show for you to tell us your take on the battle for marriage.
Well, you know, I really thought long and hard about what I would put into that blog post, because I definitely have some opinions. And what I really wanted to do, and I think I accomplished, I hope I did, was to make it very clear that I support the teachings of our church. I support marriage, and I have no issue at all with that. But I wanted to talk about, you know, we get into this sort of mindset that we, you know, we often, and it's Catholics too, we attack those people who don't agree with us, and we get very defensive when people question what we believe, and we get very defensive. And what I wanted to do in the post was to talk about how we can lift up marriage in a very positive way by setting good examples. Because at the end of the day, all I can really do to influence someone else, I can write all I want and give great speeches, but the best way for me to show people what marriage is to have a good marriage. So my wife of 18 years and I are very devoted to each other. We love each other and we have great children, and that's really the best example that I can think of to show others. So, you know, having a faith-filled marriage like that is a great example all of us should emulate. And when someone, you know, is angry with us or doesn't like the church's position, let's not respond with anger. Let's respond with love and a good example.
Randy, thank you so much for being with us today, for your example, and for your contribution to the Register.
Thank you very much, Jeanette.
Thank you so much for joining us this time on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.